And now we're ready to begin tonight's session, and I'm delighted to introduce our presenter, Dossie Berg. Dr. Dossie Berg is currently in private practice as a literacy specialist. In addition to seeing private clients, she serves as a consultant, program developer, and adjunct professor at various universities. She also presents workshops and provides teacher training in literacy for private schools and educational agencies. Previously, Dr. Berg worked in the New York City Public Schools as a special education teacher and staff developer. Dr. Berg earned her master's and doctorate degrees in special education from Teachers College, Columbia University, and is certified in school administration and supervision. I'm also very happy to introduce Betsy Kane, our technical facilitator, who will be working with Dossie tonight. Welcome, Betsy and Dossie, and the floor is now yours.
Thank you so much, and welcome, everyone. The goals for tonight's session are to identify and understand the three reading cueing systems, to become knowledgeable about guided reading, to become familiar with the various components of a guided reading lesson, and to explore guided reading using various level texts. As teachers, we certainly understand and appreciate the importance of good literacy teaching. However, sometimes as adults, it's difficult for us to understand the reading process, since it's something that we've been doing automatically without any thought for a long time. The successful teaching of reading focuses not only on improving skills, but also on the understanding of how we use those skills. When I work with children, since I want them to begin to look at their reading and learning processes more analytically so that they can understand their own strengths and weaknesses, I pose the same question that I'm going to ask now. What is the most important aspect of reading? Let's take a look at a series of pictures that will help answer this question. What do you see? Most people, when presented with this picture, describe it as two red dots. They're able to identify what they see, but they're not able to attach any meaning to it. I'd like to share a series of pictures with you that will help you not just identify what you're seeing, but also to truly understand it, to get the message. What do you see in this picture? A Japanese scene, a bird, a woman, a bridge. Keep this picture in your mind as we look at the next picture. What do you see now? If you look carefully, you'll see that the previous scene was actually the printed picture on a woman's fan. Let's keep this picture in mind as we take a look at the next picture. Now we see that the woman with the fan is on a billboard sign. The next picture shows the billboard in a book. Following this, we see someone reading the book, on a train. Now we see the train from an outside perspective, and a little bit further out. And finally, we can understand that the two red dots are the lights of a train. Now we can go beyond the identification stage and can truly derive meaning from what we're seeing. This is the most important goal in reading, gaining the message, deriving true understanding. Many people believe that reading consists solely of identifying letters and learning numerous letter sound combinations. Although this is one crucial component in learning to read, isolated skills, when taught alone, can actually be limiting when teaching children to read. Let's take a look at some of the strategies that we use as adults to help us read, since those are the same strategies that children use that need to be taught. Take a look at this sentence comprised of unfamiliar letter symbols. I want you to try to read the sentence. When you figure out what the sentence says, or if you think you have a good guess about what the sentence says, please type it in the chat box at the bottom of the page. At this point, most of you are probably feeling very confused. Here's a sentence that looks like gibberish. How are you supposed to read it? Let's try adding a picture and see if that helps you figure out the sentence. For many years, people believed that looking at the pictures in a book to help figure out the words was cheating, and they told kids not to do it. But now we know that using the pictures to help support the text is actually a good reading strategy. Okay, so I see somebody has a very good guess. The man is raking the leaves is very close. The only word that doesn't really fit is raking. Yep, there she goes. The man is sweeping the leaves. Very good. That is the sentence. Now, I want you to take a minute to think about what strategies or information you used to help you figure out the sentence. Okay, type your response in the chat box. When you have an idea, either of a strategy or some other source of information or knowledge that you used to help you figure out the sentence. Okay, so I see some people are talking about the picture, the number of letters in each word, the use of replicating letters. So some people are having ideas about relating to their knowledge of language, identifying symbols, and the knowledge that when we read, the symbols repeat, and there's letter constancy. All these answers that people are typing in are all part of how we read. There were actually three different reading cueing systems that you were working with as you figured out the sentence, "The man is sweeping the leaves." We're going to do a few more reading activities together to help us pinpoint the three cueing systems that we use when we read. Let's take a look at the following passage. Right away, you can see that this passage might be a bit difficult to read. That's because we have approximately 44 phonemes, or units of sound, in the English language. In this passage, 8 of the 44 phonemes have been changed, which makes the passage a challenge to read. I'm going to put up a key for the phonemes or sounds that have been changed. And I'm even going to leave the key up there so that you can use it as you try to read this passage. I'll try to read the passage out loud using the key. You can read along or ahead to try to figure out the passage and experience for yourself the difficulty of reading it. We begin our trip at a familiar place, a body like yours and mine. It contains 100 trillion cells that work together by design. And within each one of these many cells, each one that has DNA, the DNA code is exactly the same. A mass-produced resume. I'm going to stop here because I think it's already clear how challenging the passage is to read. This is the actual passage that we tried to read, an excerpt from Journey into DNA. What was the main source of information that we used when trying to figure out this passage? The knowledge of the letter symbols and the sounds that they made. Even though only 8 of the 44 phonemes were changed, Because the reading code was not automatically known, it was very difficult to read the passage. Knowledge and mastery of the phonetic elements, or decoding elements, were needed in order to successfully read the passage. The visual or graphophonic cue system is the first cueing system we use when we read. It involves understanding letter-sound relationships, which sounds are associated with which symbols, or what many people commonly refer to as the ability to decode. Consider these errors that children made while reading. In the first example, the child read "Father Bear Went Fishing" instead of "Papa Bear Went Fishing." This is a visual or graphophonic error because the visual symbols of the word "papa" don't match the spoken word "father." The prompt question, "Does it look right?" can help you determine whether the error is indeed a visual error. In the second example, the child read, "Nate planted seeds in the ground," instead of "Nate planted seeds in the garden." Again, the visual symbols of the word "garden" don't match the word "ground," although the child did use some visual information by utilizing the beginning "g" sound. Let's take a look at the second cueing system we use when we read. I'm going to put up a passage for us to read. I'd like you to read it out loud along with me so that you can clearly see the function of the second cueing system. The boy's arrows were nearly gone, so they sat down on the grass and stopped hunting. Over at the edge of the wood, they saw Henry making a bow to a small girl, making a bow to a small girl who was coming down the road. She gave Henry a note, which he brought over to the group of young hunters. Read to the boys, it caused great excitement. After a minute but rapid examination of their weapons, they ran down to the valley. Does were standing at the edge of the lake, making an excellent target. In this passage, there were a number of words that we needed to self-correct or fix as we were reading. Let's think for a minute. Why did we initially have trouble reading some of the words? And what made us self-correct them? Let's take a look at some of the difficult words. Initially, we read each of these words using the most common pronunciation. We correctly used the visual cueing system that we previously discussed to match the sounds to the symbols. Bow, read, minute, and does are all accurate words using the visual cueing system. In this instance, we can see how the visual or graphophonic cueing system was insufficient on its own for successful reading. Instead, we had to fix our errors based on the fact that they did not grammatically make sense in the given sentence. They saw Henry making a bow to a small girl did not make sense grammatically, and therefore needed to be read as bow. Likewise, read to the boys that caused great excitement would not make grammatical sense, and therefore it needed to be pronounced as read, and so on with the other errors. As proficient readers, we also use the cue system of structure, or the syntactic cue system, to help us read. The structure cue system includes our knowledge of natural language, knowledge of English, and grammatical patterns and language structure. When we read, this familiarity of language and syntax, or grammar, gives us cues that we wouldn't be able to get from the visual or graphophonic information alone. Consider these errors that children made while reading. In the first example, the child read, "Tom pushed the wagon," instead of "Tom pushed the wagon." This is basically a grammatical or structure cue system error. The prompt question, "Does it sound right?" can help you determine if an error is a structural or grammatical error. In the second example, the child read, "Sarah is very hungry," instead of "Sarah is very hungry." Again, this is an incorrect use of the grammatical form of the word. It does not sound right, and it would be considered an error in the structure cue system. Let's see if we can now identify the third cueing system that we use when we read. I'm going to put up a passage in which you're going to be able to read all the words using the visual cueing system. In addition, the grammatical structure of each sentence will also be correct and sound right. However, it will still be difficult to understand the passage. Hocked gems financed our hero. Scornful laughter tried to prevent his scheme. Bravely he persisted. An egg, not a table, typifies this unexplored planet, he said. Now three sturdy sisters sought proof. They forged ahead over turbulent peaks and valleys. Days became weeks as doubters spread fearful rumors about the edge. At last, welcome-winged creatures appeared. Momentous success was at hand. At this point, most people probably have no idea what the passage is talking about. I'm going to give you two words that will help unlock the meaning of the passage. Christopher Columbus. Looking back at the passage, you can now see that with the prior knowledge that the passage is about Christopher Columbus, all the elements of the passage now make sense, including the three ships, the sighting of birds to indicate that they were reaching land, etc. Meaning, or the semantic cue system, is the third cueing system that we use when reading. In our example, it was one element of the meaning system, prior knowledge, that helped us understand the passage. Meaning also includes the story sense, the meaning or sense of the text, as well as the illustrations. The prompt question, does it make sense, can help you determine if an error is a meaning error. Let's take a look at these examples of errors that children made while reading. In the first example, the child read, "The rabbit hopped into the bushes," instead of "the rabbit hopped into the bushes." This error does not make sense semantically. In the second example, the child read, "Luke started at the little ant," instead of "Luke stared at the little ant." Here again, it is evident that the child's error is a meaning error that does not make sense in the sentence. Keeping in mind the three reading cueing systems, we're going to talk a little bit about guided reading and then focus on how the cueing systems are an essential part of any guided reading lesson. Guided reading involves small group instruction, where students are grouped either according to need or level. Usually it's 15 to 20 minutes in duration. A teacher-selected text that's at the instructional level of the group is used. The text is introduced. Each student has a copy of the text and reads it in its entirety. The lesson has a specific focus. A teacher-student discussion follows the reading, and relevant activities may follow the lesson. The actual components of a guided reading lesson include an introduction, students reading while the teacher observes, a discussion for meaning, and a mini lesson. There may also be a follow-up to the guided reading lesson. Let's now focus on each of these components of the guided reading lesson and discuss what each of these components entails. As we go through the components, you will see that the elements of the guided reading lesson are relatively simple. Most teachers find that it's not too challenging to prepare and deliver a simple guided reading lesson. However, if you want to be able to give great guided reading lessons that zero in on the exact strategies that your students need to learn, the key is to use the three reading cueing systems that we discussed to analyze student errors and use them to guide and drive your mini lessons. I observe many teachers implementing guided reading lessons. They do a fine job with the introduction. The discussion part of the lesson is usually good as well. But the meat of the lesson, the use of miscue or error analysis using the queuing systems in order to determine which reading strategies students need to be taught. This is the key to a great guided reading lesson. Looking at each component of the guided reading lesson a bit more closely, the first part of the guided reading lesson is the introduction. The purpose of the introduction is to provide enough support so that the students are able to read the text on their own, while still leaving enough challenges so that students have the opportunity to practice reading strategies. Keep the introduction brief. Activate background knowledge and/or make predictions. Try to motivate the students. Discuss any unfamiliar vocabulary or features of the text that may challenge the reader. And provide directions or activities for readers who finish quickly. Since each student is reading the book on his own, some kids may finish earlier than others and need advanced directions or activities so that the teacher may still finish observing the remaining students. Take the story of the gingerbread man. Your introduction may be simple and brief and sound something like this. This story is about a cookie made out of a special dough called gingerbread. In the story, the gingerbread cookie is baked in the shape of a man, and even though cookies usually can't walk and talk, in this pretend story, the gingerbread cookie runs away. What do you think might happen after he runs away? In this story, a lot of people and animals are going to chase him and try to catch him. Let's read the story and find out what happens to the gingerbread man. In the second component of the guided reading lesson, the students read the story while the teacher observes the students' reading behavior. The teacher also records her observations about the students' reading behavior. The students read silently, or whisper read, and while they're reading, the teacher goes around to each student individually and listens to and observes the reading behavior and strategies that each student is using. The teacher records her observations for each student, and the teacher intervenes with a prompt only when it's necessary for ongoing comprehension of the text. For example, when the child makes an error that does not make sense, you may need to use a meaning prompt. Some of the prompts that might be used include rereading the child's error and saying, "Did that make sense?" Or asking the child, "Can the picture help?" Another idea is to say, "You made a mistake here. Can you fix it?" Or try that again and think what would make sense. What's wrong with this? Right? That's good for a child who's able to actually try to find their own error. If the child makes an error that does not sound right or involves the structure cue system, some of the prompts that might be used include, "You said," and repeating the child's error. "Can we say it like that?" Or, "You said," and again repeating the child's error. Does it sound right? Or, if those are too difficult for a child, you can say, "What would sound better?" and give a choice of the child's error or the word in the text. If the child makes an error that does not look right or does not use the visual or graphophonic cue system, some of the prompts used might include, "You said," and repeat the child's error. "Does that look right?" Or, "Get your mouth ready to say that word." You can ask a child, "Is there part of that word that you know?" Or, "What letter would you expect to see at the beginning of," and you repeat the word, the error that the child made. "What do you expect to see at the middle or end of that word," meaning the word in the text? "Do you know another word that looks like that and would make sense?" Since we also want to encourage children to monitor their reading and self-correct errors or miscues that don't make sense, you may also use some of these self-correcting prompts. "I like the way you fixed up," whatever the child fixed, "all by yourself." Or, How did you know this word was the word in the text and not the original word that the child said? Or you were right. How did you know? To continue our example of the gingerbread man, in this part of the lesson, the children would each be silently reading the book, while the teacher would be going around to each student and listening to a couple of pages of the student reading while noting down her observations. For example, we can see that Sarah substitutes words that do not make sense, such as reading open instead of oven or smell instead of smell. So while she's reading, the teacher might prompt, "Soon he could smell the gingerbread. Did that make sense?" Leah's also substituting words that do not make sense, such as walked instead of watched and called instead of could. Here again, a prompt of, "Did that make sense?" or "Try that again and think what would make sense" may help the student regain the meaning of the text. The next student, Rachel, is self-correcting or fixing errors that don't make sense, so no prompts are needed. Simi is reading fluently, so no prompts are needed there either. Esther Gitti is substituting words that seem to make sense, but do not visually match the words. So if this is a one-time error, the teacher would not even want to disrupt the reading. If this is a continuing pattern, the teacher might prompt, "You said fox," when it was red instead of wolf. Does that look right? The third component of the guided reading lesson is the discussion for meaning. Following the reading of the text, the teacher leads the students in a meaning-focused discussion of the text. Keep the discussion brief. Encourage student responses and conversation. The discussion also may explore concepts or features that were presented in the text. It should help deepen student understanding of the text and may also explore student comprehension strategies. Some sample ideas for discussion are asking a child or some of the children to retell the story, talking about what the main idea of the story was, focusing on the problem and solution in the story, also sometimes referred to as the conflict and resolution, reviewing the beginning, middle, and end of the story, making various connections to the story, such as text-to-text connections or text-to-self connections. For example, does this book remind you of anything you've read in another book? Or even talking about their favorite parts. In our example of the gingerbread man, your discussion might begin with, "Can you tell what happened in the story, The Gingerbread Man?" Or, "Does this story remind you of any other story that you've read? How?" The fourth component of the guided reading lesson is the mini lesson. The lesson should focus on a reading strategy that students can learn to use and apply either at the word level, at the sentence level, or at the text level. So to choose your mini lesson, analyze the previously recorded student errors using the cueing systems, and choose a mini lesson based on the needs of the students. Some suggestions for guided reading lessons based on the type of cueing system errors that children make are as follows. For meaning errors, you may want to work with students on checking the picture to figure out a word. Another good strategy is rereading the text to figure out a word that makes sense. Generally thinking about what makes sense. Another strategy is skipping the word and then returning to put in a placeholder. A placeholder refers to a substitute word that makes sense if the child can't figure out the actual word. Another mini lesson would be using punctuation to improve understanding of the story, or practicing phrasing fluency and expression, since these all directly affect the child's ability to make meaning from the story. Now, some suggestions for mini lessons in the area of structure include deciding if a word sounds right, learning various root words with prefixes or suffixes for students who have trouble with that, and learning irregular verbs. For mini lessons in the area of the visual cueing system, some suggestions are the child getting his or her mouth ready with the first sound of the word. Another mini lesson might be covering parts of the word or finding known parts in an unknown word. Using analogies to figure out words. So, for example, if I know the word taught, I can figure out the word caught because they look similar. Breaking up the word into small parts. Okay, this is especially useful for multisyllabic words that may be difficult for a child to figure out. Or using initial, medial, or final sounds if either of those is a particular area that the child or children have difficulty with. Now, for monitoring reading, mini lessons might focus on self-correcting errors or on cross-checking meaning and visual cues, which involves checking the sounds while thinking about what makes sense simultaneously. In our guided reading lesson of The Gingerbread Man, we noticed that a few students had errors that did not make sense, while one student was actually self-correcting the errors that didn't make sense. So a strategy involving using the meaning cueing system would be a very good mini lesson for this group. You would begin by noticing and recognizing out loud the child who appropriately used the strategy that you want to introduce. So you would turn right back to the page in the book where the child fixed the error and say, on this page, when Rachel read, "Where are you going?" she realized right away that it didn't make sense. She went back and reread the sentence, and then she was able to fix it and say, "Where are you going?" You were really in control of the reading there, Rachel. That's what good readers do. When they realize that the reading is not making sense, they go back and reread and try to fix the mistake. You would then turn to one of the pages where an error was made that was not fixed. Without using a student's name, you would turn to that page as well, point to the sentence where the error was made, and say, "I noticed when someone was reading this page, they read, 'And when you can smell the gingerbread, call me.' That does not make sense. Let's try going back to reread and see if we can figure out what makes sense there. 'And when you can smell the gingerbread, call me.'" Good readers try to listen to their reading so they can hear when something is not making sense. A great strategy to try when the reading is not making sense is to go back and reread and try to make the sentence make sense. You might then give the students a strategy card with the strategies that they are practicing. That way, they can use the card for independent reading as well. In addition, before the next guided reading lesson, you might review with the students, what strategy are we practicing to help make sure that the reading makes sense so that they remember to focus on this meaning strategy as they read a new book? Let's take a look at how you might slightly modify the guided reading lesson for very young readers. At the very emergent stage of reading, when young readers may not be actually reading much yet, but may know some sight words and the sounds of the letters, the guided reading lesson can be an extremely valuable tool for children to begin to read books while learning to apply strategies from the three reading cueing systems. In the sample book, We Go Out, you can see that, as is typical of books at this emergent reading level, there's usually just one line of text per page. The text is usually repetitive, and only one or two words change so that the child does not have too many challenges to work out while reading. Also, there's usually very strong picture support for the word that does change. Your introduction to the book might be brief, stating, "In this book, We Go Out, You're going to read about all the places that the children and their family go out to visit. If the children that you're working with know some basic sight words, that may be a sufficient introduction for them. Alternatively, for children who do not have all of the basic sight words, you may choose to do a page-by-page picture walk, where you literally walk the child through the book page by page using the actual language of the book. For example, oh, look, here they're telling us we go to the library. This type of introduction is particularly useful for students who are not yet familiar with the basic sight words, and they may need to memorize the repetitive part of the sentence in order to have enough support to read the book and be able to start matching the spoken words to the written text. Following the introduction, the children would read the book, while the teacher goes around listening to each child reading and jotting down observations. A discussion of this book would be relatively simple and might involve asking, what places do you like to go out to? The mini lesson, where you can focus on the cueing systems that the children are using and the strategies that need to be taught, is the place where you can zero in on building up reading skills. For example, if a child read, "We go to the ducks," instead of "we go to the farm," you want to prompt the child to use the visual cueing system, since the error made sense but was not using the sound-symbol relationships correctly. So you might say, "I love the way you checked the picture and guessed ducks, because you knew that made sense. Let's check that word, though. What sound would you expect to see at the beginning of ducks? What sound do you see? Let's reread the sentence and think of a word that starts with that sound." Or you might just prompt the child, "Get your mouth ready with that first sound." These are strategies that the child can use to improve their use of the visual cues. If a child read, "We go to the Libby," instead of "we go to the library," you may want to introduce a meaning strategy, since that error does not make sense. So you might say, "I really like the way you used the sounds to try to figure out this word. Can you reread the sentence and check the picture to see if that helps you figure out a word that makes sense here?" At this very beginning level, I find that the most common strategies that need to be taught are using the pictures, which involves meaning, getting the mouth ready with the first sound, which involves visual cues, and one-to-one matching, which means that the child learns to say one word for each written word in the text, which is sometimes difficult for very beginning readers. Now let's take a look at a sample guided reading lesson with a second grade level book, Bully Trouble. Your introduction might sound something like this. This book is about two friends, Arlo and Robbie, who are being bothered by a bully. Does anyone know what the word bully means? A bully is someone who's mean to others or who hurts them for no reason. In this book, Arlo and Robbie are very upset that they are being bothered by a bully, so they decide to do something to get the bully to stop bothering them. Let's read the book to find out what happens and how Arlo and Robbie stop the bully. Following the introduction, the students read the story while the teacher goes around observing and recording the reading behavior of the students. On the guided reading observation sheet, we can see that Mindy is making errors that do not make sense, such as saying "for" and "from" instead of "front," and "wallet" instead of "walked." Sarla is reading accurately but not using the punctuation, which is affecting her ability to comprehend the story. Esther is fixing errors that don't make sense. Charney is fixing some errors while other meaning errors are going unnoticed. Following the reading, a discussion for meaning takes place. This might involve discussing the problem and solution in the story, or asking, "Do you agree with what Arlo and Robbie did to get rid of the bully?" Now, there are two possibilities for mini lessons based on the errors that the students made while reading. An analysis of the errors shows that there are a number of students not using the meaning cue system to correct errors, as in this example, where the child read, "Every day Arlo and Robbie met in four from of the red house on the corner." One mini lesson idea to address this might be the previously mentioned strategy of rereading. Alternatively, the teacher might introduce the strategy of skipping a word and then returning to try to figure out what makes sense based on the sentence. So the teacher might say something like, "One of you read, 'Every day Arlo and Robbie met in four,' then you realized right away that it didn't make sense, and you tried to fix it by saying 'from.' That's what good readers do. They realize when something is not making sense, and they try to fix it. Sometimes you can try skipping the word, finishing the sentence, and then coming back to try to fix the word. Let's try that here and see if we can figure out a word that makes more sense than 'for' or 'from.'" This strategy of skipping the word, finishing the sentence, and then coming back to fix it would be put on a strategy card and then reviewed for students to practice. Just one word of caution with this particular strategy only, with skipping words. This strategy is good for kids who get stuck and don't know how to continue when they have a difficult word. So it's good to teach them to read till the end of the sentence and come back and try to think of what makes sense there. Some children are impulsive readers who skip words and keep going even when it's not making sense, and they never come back. So this actually would not be a good strategy to introduce for those readers. For those readers, you would want to stick to the rereading strategy. Another idea for a mini lesson for this group might be to use the punctuation to help with the meaning of the story. Again, the teacher would go back to the page where the comprehension was difficult due to the lack of punctuation use. The text says, "Eddie put out his foot. Arlo went flying. Splat, he fell in the puddle. Eddie laughed and laughed." During the teacher observation, when the students were reading, when Sala was asked why Arlo fell, her comprehension was compromised and she didn't know that Eddie tripped Arlo because she wasn't using the punctuation to stop in the correct places. In this mini lesson, the teacher would model for the children what the reading sounds like without punctuation and then with punctuation. And then the teacher would ask, which one sounds better? Which one is easier to understand? Good readers try to use the punctuation to help them read with expression and understand the story better. And again, this would be the strategy that the students would then practice. So we've seen how guided reading may be implemented at a few different levels. Keep in mind that the underlying strength of the guided reading lesson at all the levels is understanding the cueing systems and analyzing children's errors to see what strategies they need to learn. As Mari Clay says, errors are a window into a child's mind. By using the errors that a child makes as a springboard to understand which cueing systems the child is using and which strategies need to be introduced or reinforced, you can give guided reading lessons that are not just good, but are great, and have the ability to help each child reach his potential.
Dasi, thank you so much for such a fantastic presentation. I feel like you've taken an enormous amount of material and organized it in a way that makes it very, very accessible, both in terms of breaking down concepts and providing really practical suggestions of how teachers can take those concepts and implement them in the classroom. I want to remind everyone, there was a lot of content here. I really want to remind everyone that in about 24 hours, this will be archived and up on the Hidden Sparks website, and you can look at it and review the PowerPoint and listen to Dasi's presentation again and that way you don't have to rely on remembering everything that was presented. We do have a question in the chat room. It was from, I don't remember which slide it came up on, but it was just before the bully book that you just, the last section, and one of the suggestions was, what about color highlighting new words in sentences as a strategy? Does that make sense?
Well, if you're referring to working on teaching the students new sight words after they've read the story, then yes, that's an excellent strategy. I'm not sure if you're referring to highlighting it in advance of the reading. I personally prefer to have the students try to read the book initially in as natural a format as possible. So if they're very young children who don't have too many sight words yet, I will give them the language of the story so that it becomes familiar to them and they can start matching the words. I prefer that method. But as far as after the story, as a mini lesson, introducing sight words from the book and using highlighting in that context, I think that's an excellent idea.
Great. Thank you. I want to make a couple of announcements. I want everyone to keep in mind that we will open the phone lines up if people have any questions. So while I'm going over a couple of things, think about your questions. You can either post them in the chat room, or you can raise your hand, clicking on the hand icon, and we will unmute your phone if you'd like to be able to just ask your question over the phone line. First of all, we have a very new program that people should keep their eyes open for. There will be an announcement regarding a new blended version of Hidden Sparks Popular Learning Lenses course. This course will be held over the summer and will combine in-person and convenient online learning. So stay tuned for details that will arrive in your email inbox. Also, please remember to fill out the evaluation that you get in your email. It really does help us plan. And you can see here, thank you to our donors and supporters and partners that help us present both our webinars and Hidden Sparks work in schools throughout the year. A couple of questions that have come up in the chat room. The webinar will be available within 24 hours and it will stay online on the Hidden Sparks website. If you go to www.hiddensparks.org, on the right-hand side, you'll see Hidden Sparks Without Walls, and you can go to the archive section, and there tonight's presentation, as well as every other Hidden Sparks webinar, is available for download at any time. And yes, you are able to print this PowerPoint and share it with other people in your school. You can also suggest that they go directly to the website. Anyone with internet access can use the Hidden Sparks archive. So please feel free to spread the word. We're really happy for this resource to be available to people. If you have a question and you've logged on through the internet, please click on the hand icon if you'd like to ask a question over the phone. And for those who are participating just by phone, we will open up your phone lines one at a time. In a few moments, once all of the internet people have asked any questions. Okay, it looks like there aren't any hands being raised. So, yes, we have a hand raised. Betsy, if you could unmute Aaron. Oh, there you go. Aaron, you are unmuted and you can ask your question.
Hi. Well, first of all, I really appreciated hearing it all. It was jam-packed. I have to review it again. I was curious, I teach Hebrew. I was curious if I could implement this in a Hebrew classroom. Beginners, like first graders, first learning how to read Hebrew.
So it would be a little bit difficult to do that, and I'll tell you why. Most of our students here in America who are learning to read Hebrew are really native English speakers. So when they learn to read Hebrew, they're learning it strictly as a decoding process. So basically, they're only using the visual cueing system. So it's a little bit hard to teach them to use those other strategy systems, the meaning and the structure, to realize when errors are not making sense because they're not really understanding what they're reading to begin with. Now, if for some reason you have a basic fund of Hebrew words that the kids do understand and you have available some, easy Hebrew book that have that kind of like one line per page that's repetitive with a supportive picture for that one word that changes. So technically, it's not that it could technically be done in any language. It's just that, again, for students who don't understand that language, you don't really have a way to use all the cueing systems.
Uh-huh. Right, yeah, I hear that.
Even though ideally that would be the best way for children to learn to read. But, given that they are learning to decode the language without understanding it, you usually only have the opportunity to make use of the visual cueing system.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess unless there's a way of kind of doing a simultaneous thing, the reading together with the comprehension, the vocabulary.
If I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question.
No, I'm agreeing with you. Just that I was just wondering, what you're saying is if there was a way I could figure out of having the reading come together simultaneously with a comprehension, with a vocabulary,
right?
Then I might be able to use the meaning of it.
Right, exactly.
Okay, well, thank you.
You're welcome.
We have a question. Is it a good strategy to present students with lists of vocabulary words in book to review with the teacher before reading the story?
That's actually a very good question because many reading programs do introduce vocabulary in advance of the reading. Now, in the case of guided reading, we usually only introduce vocabulary that would otherwise interfere with the child's reading of the story. In other words, if you remember, we said in your introduction, you want to introduce and give the child enough support so that they can read the book while leaving them the other challenges to work out. So if there's a vocabulary word that would hinder their comprehension, then that would be something to use in your introduction. So for example, in the story of bully trouble, you would want to introduce what a bully is in case some of the students don't understand, because that would definitely affect their comprehension of the story. But you don't necessarily need to introduce all the vocabulary words. What you may want to do is have the students read and try to see what strategies they use to figure out the unknown vocabulary. And afterwards, in the mini lesson, you may want to revisit some of those vocabulary words and see what strategies students use to figure them out. And that would be, a good way to address it then.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to ask Betsy to unmute the people who have called in case any of the call-in users have a question. But before Betsy unmutes any of you, I just want to make sure to remind you that you have to be in a quiet room. Otherwise, we'll get some very significant background noise. And it looks like Betsy is unmuting. So as soon as you want, you can ask your question. Don't wait. Just go ahead and ask a question. Okay. Seems like I'm going to give you one more chance if you have a question. Otherwise, we're going to go back to the chat room because there's a question there. Okay, Betsy, if you could mute the call, thank you. We have one more question in the chat room. What about having children write down their own hard words?
That can also be a very good follow-up to the lesson. After the students read the book, to identify which words were difficult for them and how they figured out what it meant, or, you know, how they were able to negotiate their way through the story regarding those hard words. So, yes, that would definitely be something that you can revisit after the students read the book.
I want to thank Dossie so deeply. What a fabulous presentation. And I really feel like people are going to come back again and again to your PowerPoint, to the presentation, to the webinar. Thank you, Dossie, for a great resource for all of us. Thank you to all of the participants. And there's one more question. Any good books to suggest for beginner readers?
So for those emergent readers where you need the books that really have that one line of repetitive text with very strong picture support, usually you can't just buy general trade books. You usually need to buy from the publishers who gear their text towards those beginning readers. So they are a little bit expensive, but they are out there. So publishers such as Rigby or The Write Group, there are many others, but those are two very popular ones that make books that the kids, in addition to being able to read and use the strategies, also find very interesting with really nice illustrations.
Thank you. And one more question that isn't in the chat room, but it was sent just to me. With regard to practicing fluency, what grades would you include? Would you suggest doing the practicing fluency? Would you do that in a third grade classroom? Would extend that high?
Fluency really is a skill that can be practiced at all levels, because it includes the phrasing and the intonation and, you know, putting the words together basically in a way that makes sense. So that's definitely something that can be practiced at various levels. Sometimes the way that I'll practice fluency with students is to take a book that was read already, and after modeling what the student needs to work on as far as fluency, to do a reread. Like, that's a time when a reread is a good tool, when you're trying to work with a child on fluency, because they're not busy figuring out what all the words mean. They already understand the storyline of the story, so they can really then expend their energy on focusing on the fluency practice.
Okay, thank you to everyone, and I just want three more reminders. Please fill out the evaluation. Our next Hidden Sparks Without Walls webinar will be June 11th by Elizabeth Fox on the joy of reading at home. And keep an eye out for the Blended Learning Lenses course that will be offered during the summer. Dossie, thank you very much. Thank you to all the participants. And thank you, Betsy. And I hope everyone has a wonderful night and enjoys using the wonderful suggestions and strategies that Dossie has shared with us tonight. Thank you.